If you're in business, you probably have a website, but can your site handle your growth? How many visitors before your site slows down or crashes? What about storage and data security? From web hosting to virtual servers, Pear Networks provides the online infrastructure you need to start, grow, and flourish. When it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. No frustrating chatbots or sitting on hold for hours. Check out pear.com today to learn more. That's PAIR.com.
Hello and welcome to Start Sit Cut, our beginning of the week mini episode. I'm one of your hosts, Knox McCoy. Joining me as always, he just gave up a 4th-and-31 to Alabama. It's Jason Waterfalls. How could you?
Auburn gonna Auburn. Am I right?
I don't know. Like, I'll be honest with you. I really poured into the Michigan-Ohio State game, right? Like, full attention. So, after that game concluded, I was like, well, you know, I've got some things I'm trying to do. I'm trying to, clean the kitchen a little bit. Got a couple dips I'm trying to experiment with. You know, real experimental phase. You
like
know,
backy? Some tobacco, wacky?
No. I mean, maybe. I'm not going to say no to anything right now. I'm saying yes to everything. This is my yes year. My experimental phase, like era, all that stuff. And I really took my eye off the Alabama Auburn ball, you know? And then my son came down and he was like, Dad, my friends are saying this Alabama Auburn game is getting crazy. And I was like, well, let's turn it on. That was the beginning of the fourth quarter. And can I just say, I've never had a game pay off more creatively than that Auburn Alabama game. Were you paying close attention to this game as well?
I definitely was watching it. I was not completely focused on it until the fourth quarter. And incredibly, only 7 points were scored by Alabama and 3 by Auburn in the fourth quarter, but it just felt completely different than that.
Is that true? I would have, if you would have asked me point blank, I would have been like, 27 or 28, one of those, right? Probably. But it was just the Alabama refuses to, it does feel like Alabama is a little bit like Ricky Bobby's dad this year in Talladega Nights, where it's like, you expect one thing of me, but I'm not going to give that to you. I'm not going to dominate. I'm not going to give you just the punishing, impressive wins. I'm going to have a cougar in the front seat, and you're going to have to deal with that. And Auburn was like, oh, really? Well, we're also going to do the thing that you don't expect or want.
We specialize in this crazy that you're talking about.
That the snap over or to the side of Jalen Milroe's head, to make it a really uncomfortable. Up to that point, I thought, well, this is guaranteed Alabama's going to win. After that, if I would have bet fast enough, I would have bet all on Auburn. And then for them to convert. And I don't know if Nick Saban was being serious when he was like, we practiced that. I kind of believe him because he doesn't feel like the kind of guy who cracks jokes like that. But I can't understand practicing a situation like that, you know?
It was really bad. It was a great pass. Jalen Milroe, though, I mean, maybe just take a deep breath. When he was just demanding that they give him the Heisman, him that MF-er, yeah, right after the game. I don't know, pal. It was a great game by you. It was a great throw. Great throw. Incredible poise, etc. Heisman, you won't be seeing it. Let's just cut to the chase.
You won't even be
there.
Seeing it in person, probably, bud. But you'll see it on TV.
It was Auburn. It was at Auburn. I get it. It's a rivalry game. I get it. That's not going to get you the Heisman, period.
Let me ask you a question, because the first thing that happens after I experience a devastating loss, not like personally, but like I just witness it, is I'm like, whoa, what a situation, like what a scene to take in. And then immediately I go to, let's get the phone out and let's start taking pictures of all the sad fans. Right. And
yes,
I got
do.
Two
yes,
really like off the jump. They were fine. I've seen worse. Like Texas, them losing Alabama last year, they had way more catastrophically emotionally bereft fans. At a certain point, it felt a little snuff filmy.
Yeah,
so I stopped taking pictures.
I was wondering how far you were going to go, because there was plenty on screen for you to choose from.
Yeah, a couple young ladies weeping, and I'm sure that's emotions, but a little bit of alcohol probably. But it just felt weird to document that. So I pulled up, and I was just like, I don't know, maybe we need to come up with a process and a protocol before I continue with this practice.
And this is your first time having to put that protocol in place? Like, it's never just escalated like that before for you, huh? Just having a bevy of options right in front of you?
Not like that. Not like that. Really, really ridiculous. Well, Jason, we are here after a holiday weekend. We took we observed the Thursday Thanksgiving holiday, and we observed this weekend. So we haven't been at it podcasting in the podcast minds. How are you, man? How was your holiday?
It was great. I'm great. Plenty of good food. I think I'm back in on turkey. You know how like you go through phases where you just want ham and you want the good ham, not just ham slices. I've craved ham for a few years now. The turkey that my mother-in-law made this year was one of her best, top notch.
Really,
top notch. Yeah, it was really, really good, and it put me all the way back in on turkey.
I mean, am I hearing starting turkey? Is that what I'm hearing right now, or is that what you're doing?
No, I'm going to start you, my friend, and we can get to it right now. And we're going to get back to college football, but we're going to start Knox McCoy because your Jacksonville Jaguars are number one in the AFC. And I got to tell you, not only did no one see it coming, including the Jags, no one saw it coming, especially after how the season kind of went up and down. And then they were kind of not done, but they were going to be like the seventh seed or whatever. They're number one in the entire AFC. That is crazy juice.
Now, if I could, like, if you could cash out a take, you know, if you cash out a take, I'd cash it out right now. And I'd be like, the take is paid out as much as it can pay out, probably.
I think you cashed it out a couple of weeks ago lower. So I think you've cashed it out a couple of times.
That's probably true.
You're right. Now is, but I'm going to give you an opportunity.
Okay.
Why don't you double down? Why would you not just double down? The Jacksonville Jaguars, 11 games into the season, are the number one seed in the AFC. There's no reason to not double down. What could go wrong? They fall back, and then you're just like, the Jags got me, right? They all burned. Mm-hmm. It's no big deal. Like, double down. Go all the way.
Okay, it's really compelling. And I will say, in an AFC that I'm not overwhelmed with, you know, you make a good case. I think I'm not really impressed. I mean, it's a little too soon. I'm not trying to like throw shade your way. Buffalo, I just don't know what's going on with them. Kansas City.
Oh, that's not any shade my way. That's everything I know. I have no clue what's going on with them.
How do you look that good? They looked so good that entire game and then just refused to actually win it. And Josh looked amazing, to be honest with you.
Josh looked amazing, mostly. The first time ever in the NFL that two quarterbacks in the same game threw for multiple touchdowns and each ran for multiple touchdowns. I would have never thought that was true ever in my life. I thought that would have been done 8 times a year.
It does. You can tell. And I'm kind of all over the place, but let's just let it roll. I do feel like you can tell the new coordinator smell, you know, after Ken Dorsey was sent packing. And this was Joe Burrow's coordinator at LSU when he had his record breaking season. You can tell Josh has got that. Let me throw this at you. As the leading Joshologist on this podcast, what if if we got to sit down with Josh at the end of the season, be like, I think we need like a brand shift. You know, we need a vibe shift. What would you think about like, it's not Josh Allen, it's Joshua Allen. Okay, serious first name, serious player, serious guy. What do you think about that?
Is there something that's even longer than Joshua? Pajoshua, okay. Najoshua,
Nick Joshua. Najoshua?
Boo Joshua, Buffalo Joshua, NY, okay. Nye Joshua, something like that. Like, I want to go even further. I love this.
Nehemiah Joshua, something like that.
Thank you.
Almost this biblical.
It's all biblical. And he comes in with a full suit holding a Bible. That's how he comes the stadium every game.
This is a bigger vibe shift than I anticipated when I brought this up.
Let's go. We need it. We need something. Buffalo is currently out of the playoffs right now. Like, it's not good.
I just, here's the thing. It looks right. It looks good. Everything, the numbers are good. When it's Trevor Lawrence versus Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs, I know where I'm going. You know what I mean? So I know who's taking me home. So it is what it is, but I'm proud of the Jags, and I'm proud of Doug and Trevor and all the guys.
And I hope that you're proud of yourself for your take. Now, you've wavered on it, but here we are. Mm-hmm, you can sell all the stock in your take you want to, but you still made the take.
Sure.
And they're not sniffing around number one. They are the number one seed in the AFC more than halfway through the season. That is not nothing.
It's not nothing. And I also want to say your mother-in-law's turkey is not nothing, because I'm kind of on this turkey train with you, my friend. And had, you know, it was like the ham. It's good. This is great. And I know there's some people out there who are like, turkey truthers, and they're like, you can't serve ham at Thanksgiving, it can only be turkey. And it's like, well, this is a whole made up thing anyway, so it doesn't really matter. But I do think the ham is the razzle dazzle. You know what I'm saying? It's like the sexy position skill players. The turkey are the just elite offensive linemen that take you home.
Yep. That's right.
Speaking of elite offensive linemen, I'm gonna start Michigan. And I appreciate you building me up.
There it is.
You know, I appreciate you being like, you did no, you're not bad at this. You're not terrible at this. You made some good predictions. I appreciate you doing that as a friend. I want to start Michigan because I was wrong. We can talk about it now or later. But I want to start them. I don't want to bring myself into this. Okay, let's leave me out of it. Michigan's really good. They're really good.
They're really freaking good, man. They are, and you know, really good.
I think even more, I like their scheme. Sharon Moore, like, I love the coaching. I loved the coaching. I think this is one of those really cohesive, like, senior, junior classes. They just feel like men, like adults, and they're serious about their business. They're mature. They handle themselves well. I really was feeling good about myself when Ohio State had tied it up. And then I can't remember the gentleman's name. I think the right guard or something, like the All-American, snaps his leg. What a terrible thing. I'm glad I did not see that replay. I wouldn't have chosen to if I got to opt into that. But I thought they were on the ropes. And for them to come out next play touchdown, and then basically that game was over. They just took over. You could tell there's a maturity. There's something. There's an intangible about them that I haven't really noticed, but I couldn't help but notice in this game. And they're freaking good. They're just really freaking good.
They're good. They're you know, quote unquote adults. They wear suits to the games. They carry in Bibles. Exactly what we want for Josh.
Nehemiah Joshua.
Mm-hmm. Nehemiah right. Joshua Allen. It's the same thing that we want for him, is what Michigan shows up every game. That being said, the only thing that I want in the entire world is for Michigan to play Oregon. Now, I could say or Washington. I think, and we had a little bit of this in the text chain, Washington's undefeated. They're going to play again. I'm wondering if Oregon doesn't win that game. Doesn't matter. I want Michigan somehow to play Oregon, but not at the expense of Washington. You know, if Washington beats Oregon again, great. I just want to see what happens if those two teams come up against each other, because it seems like Georgia and Michigan is on a
collision course.
Thank you. And I hope that the first game, and you kind of alluded to it, is what if it's Michigan Oregon in the text thread, and I do want to see that very, very bad, because those are two teams that have very different philosophies, but both play really tough.
Yeah, yeah, and just to the philosophy's point, I want to say, I don't know if they pregame handshake anymore in college, or like pregame, like small talk. They definitely, obviously, postgame. The alpha maleness of Dan Lanning and Jim Harbaugh, it's like cross-generational alpha male stuff that I would just, I feel like it would burst into a Street Fighter scene all of a sudden between them with respect to each other. But like, I can't handle the amount of masculinity there.
It's going to be a pal off. It's going to be a chief. It's going to be a bud. It's going to be all that thing. All right, buddy. Thanks, pal. All right, you got it, chief. It's going to be all of those back and forth.
All right, don't steal our plans. Don't steal our plays, big guy. Just a lot. I love it, man. I want to see that so bad, so very badly. But I just want to say, like, shout out to, well, we'll talk about it at the end. One coach in the Michigan-Ohio State game came to play and like let it all out. And then Ryan Day was also there. And I just want to say, Sharon Moore, like, shout out to him. I loved his vibe, loved his energy, loved his strategy, loved his confidence. And I know, like, you're coaching another guy's team. So, like, there's not a ton to lose because you're not even supposed to be here, right? But I thought he played, or he coached with a confidence and led with a confidence that I just love to see. And I hope this leads to some job opportunities for him.
Do you want to know what the confidence is? That Coach Moore looks the best in a puffy vest of anybody on the entire planet.
It's so good. It's like a young Tomlin out there. It's really good stuff.
It's incredible. You know? I love it so much.
All right. Who are you sitting this week?
All right. Because of a lot of the stuff that we're talking about here, I'm sitting the NFL. The Jags are number one. Let's bring that back in the AFC. That can't be a good thing, right? But really, college football has been having an incredible season, and then just had an incredible rivalry week. A lot of crazy stuff happened. A lot of fun stuff happened. There was good games. There was bad games that were fun. Everything happened. with a lot of really good high-end, high matchup or high-stakes games this weekend. And then the NFL, where Aiden O'Connell and the Las Vegas Raiders can do what they did against the Kansas City Chiefs. You know, and it's just like, obviously they still lost by two touchdowns, but the Kansas City Chiefs, you know, did not look like this world-beating team, like the Jaguars look like, compared to what just occurred on Saturday with college football. College football is just, I don't want to say it's king because the NFL still is, but I don't remember, and just to be completely clear, we've been talking about this for a couple of weeks, but then Tom Brady also came out and said that the NFL product is mediocre right now. So yeah. Somehow that's getting all of the shine and we're not getting any publicity, which makes me wonder if our sponsors are putting our name out there enough for us.
I don't understand that. Why does he get more like shine than we do? I just don't understand.
We can talk about that another time. But I'm sitting the NFL. I love it. I love it a ton. But I got to tell you, I'm putting on Red Zone and I'm not focused on almost any single games. And then that's how, I'm not saying getting through my Sundays, but that's how I'm enjoying my Sundays. But on Saturdays, I've been focusing in on one game at a time. I've been letting go of the quad back box or having a second TV with a quad box and having the first TV with a game I'm actually watching. And it's been so freaking good.
Yeah, I started betting a little bit more on the NFL now, trying to like ease in, you know, now that the schedule's relented a little bit. And I feel like I have a little bit of a handle on what's going on. Watch the Eagles Bills, but everything else, I was like, the only reason I pay attention is if I have some money going, like I had, you know, the Chiefs, like a live, bet. And so I was like, I'm going to half pay attention, but otherwise I don't want to watch this. I'm experimenting with dips here, you know, and that did kick over into Sunday. So it's like, I have more important things going on than this, you know, Vegas.
Are you like getting ready to bottle? Like it feels like we're at the culmination of something here.
I mean, that's kind of a proprietary question, you know, so I can't really answer that right now. But
the question's proprietary?
Yeah, yeah. And you kind of violate some HIPAA laws. So I'd urge you, I don't know if you want to edit this out, but I just urge you to step back a little bit, you know, right now. I'm going to sit. Are you a Fargo guy? Did you, you know, see the movie, watch the TV shows at all this season?
I saw part of the movie and I saw like a couple of clips from the Chris Rock season, maybe?
Man, honestly, that was the worst season. That was a bad.
But I wanted to see season. What Chris, I think I only watched certain parts of Chris Rock, maybe it was online, to see like what he was giving to the performance in what is the Fargo realm. I understand the realm. I understand the environment, but no, I've not watched. What about yourself?
So I'm going to be gentle here. I'm going to be very careful because I don't want to trigger you, but this is the whole Fargo experience. It's a Coen Brothers movie, iconic movie. You've probably like ingested a bit of it just like from cultural immersion, you know, like the rest of people, like you haven't had to see Fargo to kind of get the vibe.
The chipper.
Exactly. And it's basically what it is. It is the rich contrast between very violent criminal activity and Midwestern niceties. And that's kind of the tension of the movie and the show. And it's very rich. It's a very rich tapestry. Every other season except for Chris Rock's are elite TV. Noah Hawley writes and directs a lot of them. He's really great. There's a man, I always, who's the dude who played Obi-Wan in the Star Wars movies? I never
Ewan?
Remember. Yeah, I always want to call him Liam, and it's just not.
Liam Neeson never played his
Qui-Gon
mentor.
Qui-Gon Jinn, which my son called Qui-Gon Jim. I was like, that would kind of be cool if they just called him Qui-Gon Jim, you know? And I'm not trying to like go back to the Josh thing, but instead, because the Bible thing really took me for a loop, because the Nehemiah Joshua, I feel like that's a lot. What if we zig and go the other way, and we almost go like, Talon Allen, you know, like a
Talon Allen.
Like he races dirt bikes, you know, he does arm wrestling contests, he's getting into MMA, and we just go like the other, like he's sponsored by an energy drink. What do you think about that? That's another vibe shift in a different direction, but it is a vibe shift.
As long as there's a mustache that like curls at the end, you know what I mean? Like goes real old school kind of like, yeah, I want him to beef up too if he's going that route, you know? Like
what if he just, next year he showed up and he was doing like Daniel Plainview from There Will Be Blood. And like, that was his whole persona, but he didn't acknowledge it, but he was just like, I'm an oil man. Like that was his, like, I would be interested. But anyways, back to Fargo. The TV, the Billy Bob Thornton season is really great. There's a new season of Fargo and Juno Temple is kind of the star-ish element. But John Hamm is also in that. He's in the universe. I won't spoil like how it's connected. But the big, you know, he's John Hamm is due. He did a morning show sex scene with Aniston. And now in Fargo, we get his just big old butt. Not big old. Like, I don't mean that in a bad way. I just mean like in a respectful way. It's just big on screen. You know, we get like a big butt shot of him getting out of like a cowboy hot tub, almost to the point where there should, honestly, they probably removed it.
The Cowboys CGI. Hot tub in Dallas?
No, this is like, I guess this is in Idaho. I'm not exactly sure where we're at. We're in the
North Dakota, right? Fargo?
Yeah. It's like Minnesota. Well, see, like there's a Minnesota component. So, and they cross some state lines, which I don't want to talk like, you know, districts and legalities with you right now, but I think you know where I'm going at. Like this is a tri-city situation, but he gets out and they really drink in the shot to the point where there should have been a scrotum probably, but we didn't get that. I'm not saying like I wanted it. I'm just like describing it. The scene.
Are you okay right now?
I'm just saying, it was just,
you like John Hamm's big butt and you didn't see his other pieces.
Now, technically I'm sitting it, so I can't like it if I'm sitting it, you know. I'm just like, there's a Hamm's sexuality essence afoot, and I just don't know what to think of it. You know, I just don't know what to do with that.
It all started when he had incredible, and this is a joke, incredible sex with Kristen Wiig in Bridesmaids.
He is, like, to your point, though,
weird things. So we're,
he is playing a version of that guy. He's like,
oh, is he really?
If like that guy watched Yellowstone and just listened to Jordan Peterson exclusively, that's who this character would turn into probably. So, it's, I don't know. It's interesting. And I also want to sit. Yeah, it's really good. It's the season's really good right now. So I'm really enjoying it. So I also want to sit, really quickly. Man, watching the Ohio State Michigan game, watching a lot of the Washington State game, and then going over to Alabama Auburn. I didn't realize, I just grew up on this. I didn't realize how much CBS, the camera guys are low key. I don't know. I hate even saying this. They feel a little low key horny. Because the amount of co-ed shots you get in the CBS telecast versus the Fox, and I guess it was both were Fox, you don't get any. You don't get any out there, man. But CBS, it is like every single play break, boom, co-ed shot, boom, sorority shot.
There was two things that distinctly happened during the Alabama-Auburn game. Number one, CBS is very upset that they are losing this game to ESPN, you know, this entire package to ESPN. They addressed it no less than 4,000 times that this is their last SEC game. And then the co-ed shots, I thought I was going crazy. It was every other shot, a complete zoom in on one female. Like, what are we doing here? We don't need to do this every single time. Let's mix it up a little
bit.
I felt
so strange. And I was like, am I strange for noticing that? Am I actually the strange person? So I don't know.
It was like they had to like use their entire budget for all of next year's co-ed shots.
Yeah.
Because they don't have the game next year. They used it all in the game.
It's just, you didn't see any Michigan or Ohio State students like ever. Maybe a front row guy like in crazy like war paint or whatever. And then Washington State, you didn't see anybody.
Well, that's because Urban's there, part of that broadcast. So they legally, you have
to. They're like, hey, we'd love to, but Urban's here. And, you know,
Urban's
on a hair
watching.
Trigger.
We can't.
He is on a freaking hair trigger. Okay. So just like watch out for that. Okay. What are you cutting this week?
All right. This week, I am cutting my excitement for Obliterated on Netflix. Have you seen? Have you seen? You hear about this one?
I have not, but I saw this on the rundown. So I watched the trailer and I still wasn't sure if this is what you were talking about. So I'm excited. I'm excited to talk about this because this is a TV show, not a movie, correct?
This is a TV series on Netflix. It is about an elite special forces team tracking a deadly terrorist network hell-bent on blowing up Las Vegas while they are drunk.
Yeah. Look, the premise in the trailer is pretty great. They think they solved it in like the first 15 seconds. So they go get drunk and high and have sex. And then the villain's like, psych, that was the wrong bomb. Now you got to do it high and drunk. Pretty good stuff.
Somebody that I've got stock in is Shelley Henning. And she is in this. She was in she was like the extra. No, not the extra. She was like the other friend in When We First Met, which is not the best movie in the world, but somehow I've watched it two or three times. Okay. Her role in it is incredible. It's one of the Adam Devine, Alexander Daddario Netflix movies. Ah,
okay, I gotcha.
And I bought stock in her, Shelley Henning, at that point. And since then, I've not really seen her in a ton of elite things. So I'm hoping that this is the one She ends up getting her over the hump.
Now, she is in a smaller kind of role, but she is in Mythic Quest, which, have we never talked about Mythic Quest? Have you?
I've seen the first two seasons. I need to go catch up. What are we on to now?
I think we're in season four.
We need to deep dive Mythic Quest because I have a lot of takes.
Oh, okay. Okay. We'll save those because the 12 people who watch it in America, like, they want to get ready. Because I just don't know how that doesn't have more market share, because I love that show. It's so good. It's like, it's always
too
sunny.
It's too on the nose.
Maybe.
Sunny always does whatever they want. Mythic Quest does what they think that nerds want to see.
Well, it does have, like, if Sunny and Silicon Valley had a baby. And I got really self-conscious how I said Silicon, because I feel like that's how, like, the smart people say it. But I say Silicon. That's how America's people
Silicon
say it.
Valley.
Silicon Valley. Hey, Jim. Great to see you, Jim. I've never been more invested in hearing their interaction.
Is that your Dan Lanning all the time?
It is. Here's the thing. I love the premise. It's simple. It's elegant. I love Vegas as a setting for anything.
Thank you. Especially, you know, for an F1 race.
I like a shot of a fancy conference room, and then a shot of a helicopter, like, coming up in the window, and then shooting a missile into it and blowing it up. You're always going to have me when you do that in your movie. Always.
But think about this. We can go to, we can go to Abu Dhabi. Wait, there might not be alcohol there. I don't know. We can go to Miami. We can just do different seasons of Obliterated, where this crew just gets together. Ah, we finally get to get together and drink and celebrate what just happened. And then, of course, chaos ensues every time.
Yeah.
I'm just hoping that it's fun. I'm not expecting it to be elite. I really have hopes, and I'm cutting my excitement for this because I really have hopes that this is going to be a fun show.
I love it. I don't know how they're going to make a whole show out of it. That's crazy to me. I assume this was a movie. I love the audacity of that. But I'm with you. I'm excited to watch this. And again, we're champions of the mid movie, the mid major. Like, let's, or a mid major TV show. Like, let's make
action comedy, a mid action comedy series. Let's do this.
Speaking of kind of that a little bit, you brought up a TV show. I want to bring up a TV show, Extended Family on NBC with John Cryer. I really don't have anything to add here except
my man.
John Cryer looks like the head of a prison Nazi gang.
Never mind. Take me out of it.
I don't know why he has chosen to look like that. I don't know what the premise is. I don't understand what's going on with this TV show.
I don't think he's chosen to look like this. I think, like some of us, he's accepted that he's follically challenged.
Okay. And no problems there. No issues there.
Grown a beard instead of hair on the top of his head. This show does not look good at all.
No, it doesn't look good. And not to double down on him, the baldness is fine. That is what it is. God gave you that card. You play the card. The decision for him to go extremely uber masculine, big beard, and extremely colored, like, dark, that is something he needs to take accountability for.
Now, I am excited that Donald Faison is in this, because I think that he is grossly underrated and needs to. Oh, no, you don't. You don't, not a big fan?
I've
been a fan since Clueless.
I've not been a big fan of his, him and Zach Braff's commercials. You know, well, I don't need that. Okay.
Zach Braff, I could, you know, Garden State was incredible, and the rest I could probably take or leave.
Sure.
But Donald Faison, I think that he is somebody that, you know, kind of like that Damon Wayans Jr. He's goofy, he's slapsticky, and that, you know, you just can't find a role for them.
Yeah.
Put them in the season two, both of them in season two of Obliterated. That's what I'm talking about. Get them in Netflix contracts and let's pair them up together.
I don't hate that.
Bring Jake Johnson with him. Like, Let's Be Cops. Remember that movie?
Yeah. Donald Faison in Remember the Titans. He's got, like, a lot of energy and charisma. And I feel like, you know, it's a different movie. You're not going to focus on that. But I don't know. I mean, Scrubs a little, obviously. Nobody else has really capitalized on that. So I'll take your point. But formally, I think in the interest of integrity, I do need to cut me and my Ohio State takes. I'll be honest. I thought I was like Tom Hanks in Castaway, and like I was on Ohio State's going to beat Michigan Island and I was alone. And then when I saw the entire game day crew outside of Aiden Hutchinson take Ohio State, and then when I learned that the betting public was on Ohio State, it was like, I realize what I've done here. I've become the square. You know, the square call is coming from inside the square house. And I will say, I think after the first or second drive, I cashed out all of my takes because I was like, I'm just wrong. I'm just incorrect on this. And I think, you know, we talked about Sherrone Moore doing a great job. I assumed coming to this game, Ryan Day and Ohio State was going to come in like they came to Georgia on New Year's Eve last year.
Yep.
Very energetic, very alive. Like,
yep.
Pushed all their chips in, the best game plan you've ever heard of or thought of. And instead, he almost coached like a guy who didn't want to get blown out, you know, who thought, if I can keep this close, I'm a little outgunned this year. If I keep this close, this will be okay. The only thing I can't do is get blown out because I lose my job. And once it dawned on me that like not going for on fourth and short a couple times, when you know, like you have to take bold strokes in Ann Arbor to win this game, that's when I lost my confidence. So my bad, but also Ryan Day, you're bad a little.
Do you think that he needs to be fired?
No, it's insane to be like, just because you can't, because I always go back to your point, who are you going to get, right? Who are you going to replace him with?
Come home, Urban.
Irby, come on.
Think about all the stuff that Urban Meyer's done. And Jim Tressel had to like leave the planet because some of his players got tattoos.
It's honestly, it's insane. It really is because they got caught. It
drives
tattoos.
Me nuts. I hate Ohio State, but I kind of feel bad for Jim Tressel in all of this.
I do a little bit. I feel a little bad for Ryan Day because I think he's a really good coach. I don't know that he's in the upper echelon of like, you know, the Kirby's, like that tier. But he's in an impossible situation unless he beats Michigan. So I just think in the next 2 years, you got to beat Michigan and you'll be okay.
But I also think, you know what? Yeah, it's got to go back and forth. But then another Michigan coach comes in if Harbaugh leaves, because you're saying Harbaugh is leaving and all this stuff. And then Ryan Day starts winning again, right?
He's fine.
Against Michigan. And then he's fine. Like this Michigan-Ohio State rivalry of coaching and just firing your coach because you don't win one game a year.
That's insane.
It's getting a little bit insane, you know? And that's where like sticking with Harbaugh until Urban left. Urban was 11-0 against Michigan. That's also insane.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's why you do what you got to do. But Ryan Day to A&M would have been the best move possible, just because a coach that I think is overrated, and not grossly overrated, just a little overrated, could have gone there instead of a coach that we kind of like ends up going there. Elko ends up going there. I don't like Ryan Day. I don't like Ohio State. I don't think you fire him. But I got to tell you, they've been punching Ohio State in the face, and they did it again. They won by 6. That is not what it looked like to me during the game. They were really punching Ohio State over and over again, and Ohio State played well like half the game total. Yeah. And you've got to play well the entire game, just like you said, like they did against. How did they put that up against what was a better Georgia team last year than this year? And Ohio State played like that because of C.J. Stroud. Arrest my case.
Yeah, it's he's too good. He's doing too good of a job to lose his job over the Michigan, because this is a great Michigan run. Now, like 2 years ago, 3 years ago, that's not a game you want to lose. But they were not the better team this year. So put a little bit of respect on Ryan Day's name. I will say the Ryan Day to Texas A&M and Urban being like, this is insane. What are you talking about? That was pretty funny. I still think, even though like you mentioned Mike Elko, I think it's a great hire. I think Dabo Swinney to Texas A&M was a lot closer than we all realize.
There's just no way. Why do you think
he wanted it? I think it was one
of
those. I don't know. We'll see.
It could have been the highest paying job if they got Dabo in the biggest, you know, publicity conference. So I can see it for Dabo from that perspective. I don't think there was any chance he was leaving Clemson. Why would you leave the ACC? You can screw up once every 4 years and then you just dominate the other 3 years.
You're not wrong. I do think there's a part of he's kind of sick of Clemson. Clemson's a little sick of him, you know. Tyler from Spartanburg, I think he hit on something that was real. And I think if you're
Tyler from Spartanburg has cost me everything.
He really has. He screwed everybody. And I love the spirit of what he was doing. Part of me thought there's a leapfrog opportunity of if Clemson, Florida State, and someone else, Miami, get swallowed up in the SEC. I'd rather be on the Texas A&M side who Texas A&M, look, they feel like weapons grade Auburn, you know, where it's just like, they're just as, their boosters are just as like dithering and meddling, but they just have way more money to do it with.
Which makes them even more so, you know, like
exactly.
They have the same like mentalities as the Auburn boosters and several of these other boosters, but then all of a sudden their money is three times as much as any of the other boosters. So then the meddling that you get to do when you have that much money is just absolute insanity.
The variables are higher, but I'll go to my grave thinking Dabo wanted it, and it was a lot closer than we think. Okay, that is Starts to Cut for this week. We're excited to be back. Thank you for everyone being here. Thanks to everyone listening. As always, I'm Knox. He's Jason. We'll see you next time.